Your Bibles tonight, Revelation chapter number 12. I really think the key to understanding Revelation chapter number 12 is to know its characters and then know its setting. And Revelation 12 is actually a chapter in the scripture that has a setting that is both in the past, the present, and the future. The first five verses of Revelation chapter 12 points us back to the past. The space between verses 5 and 6 is the present, the moment in which we live. And the space between verses 6 and verse number 17 is yet to come and is in the second half of the Great Tribulation. And I think those are important things to see, and we'll emphasize that as we go through the message as we teach and preach this passage of Scripture. There's three main characters. There's a wonder. It's a woman clothed with the sun. The woman is the nation of Israel. And I think we can show that to you and explain it and prove it. The great dragon is the next sign, symbol, wonder, and that's Satan. And the child, there's a child, and the child is none other than Jesus Christ. And I've enjoyed this chapter of Scripture and pray the Lord will use it to encourage you. Let's read together Revelation chapter 12, beginning verse number 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was called up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. When we come to chapter 12, there's a great emphasis on the devil. There's a great emphasis on Satan. As a matter of fact, he's mentioned and named multiple ways in different forms and fashions, and we see the devil. And I really think if we're going to make application to ourselves at this moment, we can learn a few things about the devil and what he does. I want you to know that the devil's a murderer. The devil's a deceiver. He's an accuser. He's a persecutor. And the devil hates Jesus and he hates Christians. And by the way, He hates the nation of Israel. God's chosen people. And we should take note that the things that the devil hates are things that God loves and God intends to use and God intends to bless. The things that the devil hates are the things that we should love. The things that God loves are the things that we should love. And the devil here is that old dragon. And we learn in this passage of Scripture also some methods for overcoming Satan. So good. We'll work our way through this passage of Scripture, and we'll make the outline just like this: past, present, and future. Let's consider, number one, the past. When we come to the first five verses of Revelation 12, we have a look into the past. We see John, the Revelator, is giving us a writing down of the vision he's seeing. He's seeing the vision, and he's writing down what he's seeing. What he's seeing is looking into the past, and he gives us a look into things that have already taken place. The Bible says in verse 1, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars." And he sees this unusual figure, this unusual wonder. The word wonder is a sign, and he sees something that signifies something. And so what is being represented here? We see a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now, there's a lot of different ideas about who this woman is. Mary Baker Eddy, the founder of the Christian Science movement, she believes that she is this woman. And the Christian Science followers are the child that's in her womb. There's other cults that believe other things. But I think when we look at this and we think about this vision, and God is describing something, showing John something, and he sees a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. I'm confident this is the nation of Israel. If you keep your finger right here in your Bibles and turn back to Genesis chapter number 37 and verse number 9, I want to remind you of a vision that Joseph had. You remember Joseph's dreams? Joseph was a dreamer. And it got him into some trouble because his brothers were really jealous of him. But Joseph had had some dreams. On one of his dreams, he dreamed that there were bundles of sheaves. The number equaled his family, and the sheaves were bowing to him. This made his brothers angry. In verse 9 of Genesis chapter 37, the Bible says, "He dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more." Here's another dream. He says, "Behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth?" And so, who in this dream is the son? It's Joseph's daddy. Who's that? Jacob. Later his name becomes something else. It's an important name. What's Jacob's name later become? 1, 2, 3. Israel. That's right. The sun is Israel. Jacob, the person. The moon is his mother. And the stars, the 11 stars, are 11 of the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. Now, with that in mind, we see the beginning of the nation of Israel here with the sun, the moon, the stars. And John in Revelation 12, verse 1, sees a great wonder, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. There's quite the connection there. It's the nation of Israel. We see this great wonder, the nation of Israel. Verse number 2, "And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered." Now, I'm going to tell you in just a moment, I'm going to tell you and show you another verse of the same chapter that Jesus is that child. Jesus came from the nation of Israel. Jesus was Jewish. Jesus came into his own. His own received him not. Jesus is that child. Verse 3. The Bible says, and there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon. You know, a lot of folks draw these caricatures of Satan, like Satan is some type of a red dragon with a pointed tail and a pitchfork. And I don't even know, so he doesn't look like this. He acts like we would imagine that a character like that would do. But the Bible says here's what he reminds us of, and here's how he's caricatured. A red dragon having 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. The Bible says in his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. Some folks want to believe that because of the drawing of the tail and the stars from heaven falling, that there's going to come meteor showers and that type of thing. I personally am convinced that this is the past. It's already happened. And that Satan was an angel of light, rebelled against God. And when he failed, you can find it in Isaiah chapter 14. When he failed, he took a third of the angels with him, the stars. Satan, this great red dragon, Satan, the Bible says his tail, verse 4, drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. What has the devil always sought to do? I want you to know, the devil, his lifelong purpose is to destroy Jesus Christ. The devil hates Jesus. It's funny to think about this, because when you read the end of Revelation chapter 12, you know that the devil is a defeated foe. And I want to tell you, I'm thankful to be able to tell you that the devil is a defeated foe. The end of the devil is destruction. And Jesus Christ will rule and reign forever. Hallelujah. We talked about that last week. And I often wonder, how is it that the devil can be so motivated to continue to fight against Jesus, knowing that he's going to be a defeated foe? But then I back up and I think, I understand that how people who have seen God work in their hearts and lives are so prone to rebel against him. We are so easily deceived by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And to rebel against God, well, it's so important that God's people keep their hearts in tune with the Lord, that faithfully seek to know and have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ through prayer, his word, through the fellowship of God's people, through the work of the local church. The devil, he's a defeated foe, and he fights to destroy Jesus. I feel like I should interject this for a moment. Have you ever noticed that some of the hardest things in the world to do are the things that help you most with your relationship to Christ? Have you ever noticed that about the time you get ready to read God's word, study, distraction is inevitable? Have you ever noticed it's hard to stay awake and pray? Have you ever noticed that you don't have any trouble most of the time getting to work at 7:30 Monday through Friday, but Sunday school at 10 a.m. is nearly impossible? Now look, sometimes it's just because we're bums. But often, I'm going to tell you something, the devil is at work, because he knows when God's people get with God's people, the work of Jesus Christ goes forward. Don't fall prey to the tricks of the devil to draw you away from the things that help you the most. He has, for thousands of years, worked with great ambition and desire to destroy Christ and Christ's effects on God's people. Don't let him win. The Bible says that she was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as he was born. Now look, there's all kinds of players working when Jesus was born to destroy him. That old wicked king that the wise men came to see, send me word again that I may come and worship him. All the Jewish children murdered at 2 years of age and younger, and God protects Jesus. Look, Satan was in that mess. The Bible says, verse 5, and she brought forth a man-child. I'm thankful that in spite of all the efforts that the devil has tried, Jesus was still born. Jesus was still victorious. Jesus is still Savior. Jesus has still conquered death, hell, and the grave. Amen. She brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was called up unto God and to his throne. I dare say that verse 5 is the shortest verse that describes the life and ministry, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus in the whole Bible. But it does. Jesus Christ was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. He'll rule. And her child was called up unto God. The Bible says that he ascended into heaven. The Bible says, I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again. And where I am, there you may also. He's called up unto God and to his throne. I'm thankful that Jesus is not just some good man, but he's God on the throne. When we finish verse number 5, we've looked in the past and the setting has been set. We see the great war between the nation of Israel, Jesus, who came from the Jewish people, and that old devil, Satan, whose lifelong ambition has been to destroy Christ and his effect. There's a space here between verses number 5 and 6 that it is actually the moment in which we live. A season of time where there's no doubt that the devil is the prince of the power of the air, and the devil is out to destroy all the good that Jesus wants to do. But let me tell you something. Every time you trust in Christ, the devil's greatest plan is defeated and foiled, and Jesus wins the victory. I'm so encouraged to know that all the things that sin and all the trouble that sin brings to our hearts, our homes, our families, our friends, our community, when sin is dealt with through Christ, I'm so thankful to be able to tell you that all things work together for good. I'm thankful that God uses the very things that the devil wants and intends to use to destroy you. God uses them and turns them on their heads and will bless you through the worst of the worst. God does that. In this moment in which we live, this present moment, point number 2, the present, in this present moment, do not bow to Satan. Do not be tempted to fall for his devices. I remind you, he's a murderer. He's a deceiver. What does he set out to do? He set out to deceive. You know what the devil loves to do? The devil loves to remove people from the facts of God's word. Did you ever imagine that you'd live in a moment where people were so deceived? You don't have to look very far to find out that some of the most basic things and basic parts of our human existence have been brought into question. I would have never imagined. I remember when I was first introduced to the idea of multiple genders. I was a youth pastor in Tennessee back about, 2005. So this isn't brand new. It's been going on for some time. And it kind of got on our radar that there were folks in schools and public schools in California that were beginning to teach that there were 5 genders. I'm like, how in the world can you? I was curious. I'm like, how do you come up with 5 genders? I've only ever known 2. I spent a lot of time around the farm, and it was the first thing that when a dairy calf was born at the farm is you check to see what it was. It wasn't a personality thing. It was a plumbing thing. And we checked, and we're like, that girl. It's click. Now, look, they have different personalities and different ideas and different types of and interests, and people are like that. But let me tell you something. In the beginning, God created them male and female, period. Now, listen, we're all different. And that's fine. But you're a boy or a girl. That's how it is. But let me tell you something. There are masses of uber-educated people out there who have come to an educated conclusion that truly there are more than two genders. Look, it's deception. It's a removal from God's original design. It's the devil's device to pull people away from the most basic of basic. Don't fall for that trash. Now, I'm going to tell you, we could park right here for a long time and talk about all kinds of deceptive agendas that are being force-fed down the throats of God's people. At this moment in which we live, the space between verses 5 and 6, the devil's a deceiver. Don't be fooled. God's way will stand the test of time for all of eternity. Choose Christ. Don't be fooled. The devil, why does the devil lead us down these paths of deception? So that he can make us free, make us better? No. So he can destroy you. And his goal still to this day, because he's deceived, is to destroy Jesus. But let me tell you something. He's defeated foe and Jesus wins the war. You better stick with Christ. We move from the past to the present to the future. Beginning verse number 6, the Bible says, "And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. For 3.5 years, the second half of the tribulation, there will be a large group of the nation of Israel that are going to be sheltered and cared for. When this group of Jewish people are sheltered and cared for the second half of the tribulation, there's not all of them. There'll be other groups that are in different places. But there's a large group here that are going to be sheltered and cared for in the wilderness for 3.5 years. And the Bible says, while this is going on, there was war in heaven. Now, you can use your imagination to come up with what war in heaven looks like. I don't have a clue. But I can imagine it's pretty exciting. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, the devil. And the dragon fought and his angels. And prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. Michael and his angels defeat the devil. Now, this is an interesting thing, and I don't know everything I know about it. But Satan is the accuser of the brethren, and he has a place at the throne of God, and he accuses the brethren. But that won't last forever. The devil will be removed from his place in heaven, his voice before the Lord accusing the saints. And the Bible says in verse 9, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." The Bible says in verse 10, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ." Loud voice in heaven says, "Hey, look, we won. We won." The Bible says, "For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." In verse number 11, listen to this. "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb." How's the devil defeated? I'm going to tell you, the devil's defeated in the future the same way he's defeated today. The power over the devil is found in the freely shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that paid the price for our sins. Look, don't you ever fall for somebody who takes the blood away from the faith. You see, the shedding of blood, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. The blood of Jesus Christ washes us. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What conquers and defeats the devil and his greatest desire to destroy you? The blood of Jesus. Let me tell you something. The day that 8-year-old Cody Sturgill fell under conviction and trusted Christ by faith as his Savior, and the blood of Christ washed away my sin, the power of the devil was gone. Amen. To take away my soul, to condemn me. Now, he tempts us. He wants to render us ineffective. It like he did Peter, and around the time that Christ was crucified, he tempts us to be sidelined and be seated and set aside. But let me tell you something. Who can separate me from the love of Christ? Not the devil. Because this old boy's been washed in the blood. Hallelujah. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. They overcame him by the word of their testimony. This is sweet to me. The word of their testimony. You know what helped them to overcome the devil, Satan? What was it? The word of their testimony. When the devil began to accuse them and tempt them and attempt to deceive them, there was something that couldn't be overcome, the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ had changed their lives. The fact that Jesus had made a difference. The fact that they'd seen Jesus make a difference in the lives of other people around. The word of their testimony. God had been faithful. Because God had been faithful, they had the ability to overcome the devil. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. And the Bible says they also overcame them because they loved not their lives unto the death. Let me tell you something. This is so important. You know what these people did? They kept their eyes fixed on Jesus. And the deception that the devil always gives us is he entices us with the world. He entices us with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. The devil entices us with fleshly, sinful experiences. And God's people have enough sense to know that the devil is a deceiver and he uses fleshly desires to tempt us to sin. Christian people understand something. I may miss that pleasure of sin for a season, but that does not even compare to the glory that God has prepared for me, my family, and those people who put their trust and faith in Christ for all of eternity. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man all the things that God has prepared for his people. Hey, look. Even if for a season the devil seems to get the victory, for all of eternity, as the old preacher said, we'll be kicking up gold dust. It's good. It's good. And you know what else I found out? God's given us mercy and grace and peace and joy and the fruit of the Spirit to enjoy even the days in which the great deceiver is trying to hurt and harm God's people. He hates Christians. The Bible continues. Verse 12. Therefore rejoice. I've given you a few reasons to rejoice, haven't I? Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. You trust the Lord, you've got reason to rejoice. But let me tell you something. If you decide to choose the world, the flesh, the devil, the Bible says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. I think this is kind of interesting. I just wonder if God knew that there would be some people in this season who would launch out on their boats and say, you know what, I'm going to stay out of that, off this earth, and I'm going to be heading out on the sea. I'm going to be safe there. And God says, wait just a second. Woe to you inhabitants of the earth and the sea. You can't hide from God. For the devil has come down unto you having great wrath. What made the devil mad? Because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. What's that devil going to do in his wrath when he knows he has but a short time? The Bible says, verse 13, and when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man child. Who's the woman? 1, 2, 3. Israel. What is a sign of the times? A sign of the return of Christ? A sign of the great moving of the anger of Satan? Massive persecution of the woman that bore the child. Massive persecution of the nation of Israel. Anti-Semitism. Now look, God has called us, his people, to stand with the nation of Israel. Let me just tell you something point blank. I disagree wholeheartedly with the theology of the Orthodox Jew. You know, they don't even believe that Jesus, born of Mary in Nazareth, that we're trusting as Savior. They don't even believe that he's the Messiah. Some of them hate him. But God's called us to stand with his people. That's why the Bible says he came into his own received him not. One of the signs that the devil is hard at work, deceiving, is when large groups of people decide to hate his people, the Jews. Remember this. Satan, when he's bound, this portion of Scripture is yet to happen, but we're seeing signs everywhere. Satan, when he realizes that his time is short, he persecutes the woman which brought forth the man-child. Verse 14, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and a half a time. That time and times and half a time represent another way of saying the 3.5 year, second half of the tribulation from the face of the serpent. For a time, the Lord's going to protect another group of Jewish people from the wrath of the serpent. The serpent's going to get angry again. Look at the Bible, it says verse 15. The serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. I think this is kind of fascinating. I don't know exactly what this is going to look like. And John said, I don't understand exactly everything I've seen, but here's what I saw. He says, this old serpent did everything he could. It looked like a mouthful of water to catch up and destroy the nation of Israel. The Bible says, but the earth helped the woman. Now, I don't know, when the earth starts helping, you're in pretty good shape. God's in control of that, by the way. The earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth. Now, I like cartoons, and so what I see is kind of cartoonish. The earth, you know, it's just been fast asleep, mind its own business. It's like those trees in some of those Disney movies from back in the day that when you walk through the woods, they came to life. And they were spooky. But the earth's been asleep, mind its own business, and at just the right time, when Satan wants to destroy this group of Jewish people, the earth opens her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. He's like, I'll get you. And he leaves that group and he goes to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. Now, I want you to know something. Verse 17 leads into something, some horrific upcoming events in the second half of the tribulation. There's great persecution of believers, Christians. But I want you to know that the devil loses. Also, when I read chapter number 12, the second half of it specifically, when all this war is going on, the Bible says, I'm going to forever be with the Lord. I wasn't appointed to wrath. I'm going to be raptured out of here, and I'll be with Jesus for all this. And it'll be sweet and safe and sound right there. And I'm thankful. I'm also grateful to know that the devil's a defeated foe. Don't let him win. You know what the devil wants? The devil wants to begin with small things. He wants you not to trust God to meet your needs. He wants you to not trust God to give you satisfaction in life. He wants you not to trust God with the little things. He wants you to turn your back on Jesus. And a little bit of time, he's going to chip away. Don't let him win. Because anytime you yoke up with the devil, you get the devil's end. And the devil is defeated for all of eternity. When you yoke up with Jesus, you get Jesus in. He shall reign forever and ever. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Oh, what a Savior.